Let's have everybody stand up. I'd like to read from Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. It's Ezra chapter 1, first five verses. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of King Cyrus of Persia to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put in writing, "This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of earth, and he appointed me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem, in Judea. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judea and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, and the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any loyalty where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with free will offering for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God has moved, prepare to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Amen." You may be seated. As I said, for the youth, they're all not here right now, but I hope they are going to watch online tonight and this week, the youth message. But for everybody that speaks English, and if you don't speak English, you have to learn, okay? But of course, majority of you will understand because my mother watches, my dad watches, and he says you have to be a little bit more clear for the least Romanian-speaking people. So I'm going to try to make a lot of more sense. Not that I don't make sense. Ezra comes into our picture at a very interesting time. Ezra comes into our picture when the Jews and Israel has been in Babylon exiled for 70 years. If you read Ezra and then both the book of Nehemiah, they are the ones that restored the Jewish people to God, very similar to what Jesus Christ did with us, and we're going to show that parallel. Ezra starts out with the event of God's return of God's chosen people, Israel, from the exile in Babylon to Jerusalem. This is about 439 BC. The first Jews returned to Jerusalem. Then in 560 BC, the temple was restored. In 479, Esther, right, became queen of Persia. In 458 before Christ, Ezra led the second expedition from Babylon, and in 445, Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. The message this evening is about our relationship with God. It is not about Israel alone. That's important, we will learn. But it's about our relationship with God. Now, before we talk about Ezra and the restoration of the Jewish people and our own restoration to God, I want to just spend a minute to remind the young people of our church what happened that they ended up in exile. And what happened there is that Israel and the Jewish people, they ended up in exile because of chronic idolatry. Chronic idolatry, it's a serious spiritual disease. And when I say chronic, it means lingering, continuing disease and continuing idolatry. And you see, when things are chronic, means that you're doing them over and over and over. When that happens, things get worse. And when things get worse, one thing that happened is you abandon God. That's what happened to Israel. They were sinning over and over, living in the idolatry, and we'll look at a couple of verses, but they're living in idolatry and they started abandoning God. And when that happens, God started to punish them, not abandon them. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. But let's look at 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 2. So we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 first. And look what they did. They worshipped other gods and then followed the practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before them. So they started to practice what the people were there before them in Canaan. In verse 12, they worshipped idols Although the Lord said, you shall not do this. In verse 15, they rejected his decrees and the covenant he has made with their ancestors and the statutes he has warned them to keep. And in verse 17, they sacrificed their sons and daughters in fire. They practiced divination and sought omens and sold themselves to the evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. Wow. You see, the Israelites lived in idolatry, rejected God's law, and followed in pagan religious practices. Does that sound familiar? It sounds like our time too. In many ways, people, young people of our churches leave and they live in chronic idolatry. Not only that, but churches and countries themselves, including the United States, live in continuous idolatry and have abandoned God altogether. But, although maybe we have lived in idolatry, there's one thing that I want you to remember is that God has not abandoned us. God does not abandon us, and God wants to restore you back to Him. God does not abandon people. Look at Leviticus 26, verse 44. Yet in spite of all this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or harbor them so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord, their God. God, although is just and gets angry when we sin against Him, He never abandons us. It is we, like the Israelites, that sin against God, and we abandon God. Look with me to Jeremiah 29:10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my promise to bring you back to this place. You see, God promised. And when He promises that He will save Israel, He is faithful and He will keep His promise. Everything starts with God. Look at Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. The Lord moved the heart of Cyrus. How amazing is this? God again intervenes in the life of Israelites. When was the last time that He did that, right? With Egypt. The same thing. God intervened. God initiates the restoration between Israel and God the same way that He initiated the restoration between you and God, between me and God. It is not us. We do not initiate the restoration. It's not Cyrus that he's such a good man. It was God that moved his heart. And God initiated the restoration. God authorized it. God moved the heart of King Cyrus. Spiritual restoration is not ours to give or to take. It is God's. He's the initiator. He's the authority in our relationship with Him. We can see God keeping His promise and initiating the restoration from Genesis, already from Noah, and then from Abraham and Isaac. And then we see Him with Moses in Egypt, and now we see Him again with Ezra and the Israelites after 70 years in Babylon. But later, we see the ultimate promise with God sent Jesus. As promised in Micah 5:2, as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, seemingly insignificant among the clans of Judah, from you a king will emerge who will rule over Israel on my behalf. One who reigns are in the distant past. Jesus is our restoration to God. God is faithful to His people, and He keeps His promise. He has never failed. He doesn't fail us, whether from Romania, from America, wherever we are, because God is in charge. In Ezra chapter 1 verse 4, it says, the people are to provide them with silver and gold and with goods and livestock and with free offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. You see, God is in control. God is in control, and God takes Cyrus and melts his heart and changes his heart to make a decree that the Jews are allowed to return to Jerusalem. But it doesn't stop there. God also makes Cyrus go ahead and give the Jews everything. Money, silver, gold, water, food, whatever Israel needed, God provided. King Cyrus made the decree, but it was God who moved his heart to do that. It is good, it is well when God is in control of our life. It is very good. When the Jews saw that King Cyrus provided all those things for him, for them, he saw that God was on their side. Do you see God is on your side? Do you see that God is beside you in everything that we do? And if you don't see that, look again. Look at the blessings that God has poured upon you. He takes care of you each and every day. He's in charge that we are called his children and cared for. God wants to restore you to him. Therefore, God sent his one and only son to die on the cross, that you and I can be restored to God forever. Forever. No more exile, no more captivity, just Christ. For us, that is enough. Jesus restored us to God. Furthermore, our hope is in God. Look at Ezra chapter 1, verse 5b. Everyone whose heart God has had moved, prepare to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Israel and the Jews had hope in God. Not only was God faithful, not only did God keep his promise, not only did God was God in charge, but God was Israel's hope for the future. After God intervened in the heart of Cyrus, he started to intervene in the hearts of his people. Is God moving your heart? God is calling people to build God's temple. That's for Israel. Maybe for us, it's not. God doesn't call us to build a physical building or physical temple. God calls us to do something else. You know what that is? Build a kingdom of heaven. Much bigger, much greater than the temple in Israel and in Jerusalem. But God is calling you to do that. That is our hope. Are you listening to God speaking right now in your heart? Calling you by name. That through Jesus Christ, he wants to call you by name. That says, are you ready to serve him? The chains are off. Your sins are forgiven. You are no longer a slave to the devil. You are no longer an exile. Right now as we speak, does God move your heart? Because in God we have hope. Through Jesus Christ who delivered us at Golgotha. That, my friend, is how God restored us to him. It is through Jesus Christ. Israel got punished. And God still punishes. But God doesn't punish the same way with exile and captivity anymore, because only Jesus Christ paid it all at the cross. And it is all for us. It is for the younger people, for the older people. It's for anybody. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter what you did this week. At the cross, it was paid off for us. What is our restoration to God? Jesus Christ. Amen.